Dearly beloved brothers and sisters, I greet you in the name of Jesus, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I greet you in the name of Jesus, the name, the only name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. I was certainly blessed with the devotional. Certainly God has it lined up for us poor mortals. And the message I was studying in for some time, I'm sure I've got more information than y'all want to hear today, as it'd go past lunchtime. But nevertheless, the gospel is sure. It will forever stand. Even though heaven and earth shall pass away, the gospel will stand. Christ's everlasting gospel, like Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world. We hear from various, from the gospel in Asia. There's a mission there, and there's many people are being saved. Many people are turning to Christ. Churches are being burned in India at times. Homes are destroyed. But people are turning to Christ more and more. You know, sometimes affliction, God uses afflictions to wake us up. I appreciated this morning the point that was brought out. I also appreciate that Ralph said he's not encouraging sports or using the stadium. And sometimes I hear among our youth, I hear some words that are their sports are quite attached to their lives. And I guess I don't like that. I'm sorry. Because there's very few things that are more esteemed among the world than sports. Ball playing, car races, you name it. And maybe because of this that Ralph shared this morning, we have a few changes to make. And we might have some confessions to make. Because we might not live the rest of over the day, you know. Christ might call some of us home. We don't know. I really appreciate that. And the Apostle Peter would say that he is stirring up our pure minds. Stirring up our pure minds. Bringing to remembrance the things that are important. And so may we take heed. Truly wake up, whether we're young or old. And truly turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Bible is God's Word. And God's Word is forever settled in heaven. And in my studies, I guess I'll insert something that Ron Border sends encouragements, the Shepherd's Heart. And when we came back Friday evening, there was one for this week, the evaluation of materialism and hedonism. We must give heed to the Word of God. We cannot let these things slip that we already know, because we will be held accountable. And I just figured I'd insert this here, and I certainly appreciate Brother Ronald's encouragements, one every week. And he is concerned about the materialism and the hedonism that threatens our churches today. The lack of interest. A lot of people know what the Bible says, but they're, like Ralph says, they just cooled off, and they're just not with it. But the things of this world is very, very important. And some people have the idea that the more land I own, the more I'm lifted up, the greater I am, the person, you know, and the richer I am. So I'm just going to read this as it is. A brief evaluation of materialism, excuse me, and hedonism. A few definitions are in order, which will give direction to our comments. Materialism is the mindset that the highest goal in life is material acquisition. And the main concerns in this life are focused on comfort, possessions, money, and etc. And they live for the here and now is all they have in mind. And hedonism is a mindset that pleasure is the chief purpose in life. People who embrace this philosophy live also for the present world. They demand the freedom to indulge in anything pleasurable that comes their way, food, drink, drugs, sex, or whatever. Both are related, and unrestrained passion, and are both wrong. The Bible has much to say concerning materialism and hedonism. 1 Corinthians 10:31 shares this advice: whether therefore we eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. And that's something we need to be reminded of. It is clear that the materialist and the hedonist are living as unto themselves. May God help us to get our priorities straight so God would receive the proper honor and glory. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 warns us that materialism can exist at both ends of the economic spectrum. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And the parable of the sower gives us further instructions. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Matthew 13:22. Materialism is much more than an unadvised condition. Materialism is a cancer that can choke out the word and kill our witness for the Lord. A wrong attitude towards our possessions can separate us from God. May we never allow anything cause us to forget our wonderful God who has delivered us from the bondage of sin. And likewise with hedonism, the love of pleasure. We are confronted with the possibility of forgetting God. Many people pursue pleasure as a substitute for walking with God. It is a poor substitute. Solomon calls it vanity. I said in my heart, go now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this is all so vanity. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept I not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. My heart rejoiced with all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1, and also 10 and 11. There is no comfort or security in pleasures. The Bible identifies the love of pleasure as one of the signs of the end times. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Before our conversion to the glorious gospel of Christ, we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures. Titus 3:3. A conversion experience means that we have spiritually chosen rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11:25. It is not enough that the materialist gives up his things or that the hedonist gives up his quest for pleasure. Man himself cannot make such an adjustment in his lifestyle. Man needs Jesus Christ on the throne of his heart. The old man cannot break the chains of the bondage of materialism or hedonism. The new man in Christ can. Praise God for his mighty deliverance. And so it is with the new birth. When Jesus Christ takes over in our heart, things will change. And so the Word of God is, of course, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's nothing that is not visible in Christ, for all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So, the Word of God, and as I said earlier, sometimes God uses afflictions to teach us the inadequacy of ourselves, how we need God, and the insufficiency of material things. And so affliction shows us how dependent we are on him, and it increases our esteem for the Lord Jesus and the great salvation to us. Great salvation. So, you can see why I was just really blessed with how that time is running out for us, whether we're young or old. And the Word of God is sure. The Word of God, it's the Bible. His Word is both law and life. And the teaching of the law and commandments in the Bible are to be kept. Yes. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we'll see how important it is that we give heed to the teachings, how God in the Old Testament implemented the law, and how important it was that they not only hear the law, but do the law. Chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 4, and there's so many scriptures that we use in the old, under the law, the importance to keep it, and then into the New Testament as well. Some time ago, you remember, I preached a message on principles, doctrines, and commandments, how important it is. And again, I was reminded, and that's what brought about. We discussed things at our workplace and working across the table from others, and it just brought another urge for me and my own life that I do not get cold and negligent and, what's the term you used, apathy? All right, okay. So It says here, now therefore, and here's Moses teaching and or reminding the children of Israel as they move on to that blessed promised land. And we need to be reminded as we move on from this life into the next, into the glories of heaven. And I feel just like Henry mentioned, you know, the things were just in sequence this morning as we shared the article with the last article about the resurrection with the young people, and how that they signed their name to confirmed that they are going to live for Jesus Christ in heaven. Those are my own words, but that's what it means. To realize that this is the Word of God and it will stand, and we need to adhere to it and do it. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers giveth you. In other words, again I say that the teachings of the law and life are the commandments of God, and they are life. Verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. And again, I remind us again, there's only two ways, and one leads to heaven and the other to hell. And so he destroyed those people, and it won't be any better for any of those who come to the judgment of Christ in our day, you know, that don't live for Jesus. He says, but ye that did cleave to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day, and we are here. And may we cleave to the Lord and not get lax and not get involved in these perilous times of materialism and hedonism and many other isms that are threatening our churches today. But cleave to the Lord your God. And behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Yes, our lesson today in Romans, or Philippians, to develop fruits of righteousness in our lives and implement the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our love becoming more and more as we love each other, as we grow in Christ, and as Jesus continues that work in us until the day that we are called from this life and our bodies will be taken out to the grave. It's serious. Keep therefore and do them, verse 6, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, a witness. We are, now the gospel shall be preached for a witness unto the nations in our day. And God has a purpose, a place, and a plan for every one of you, young and old. May we truly surrender our lives to him and let him use us to accomplish that person, purpose, rather. Verse 7, and what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? We have no greater God. There is nothing greater. He has come to us. And what nation is there so great and hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. And so generations have come and gone, and how are we faring in our generation and in our teaching of our sons and daughters and their children and their children's children? It's been going on for a long time. Okay, let's turn to chapter 14. Excuse me. Yeah. Then, no, this is a verse in the same chapter, verses 14 and 15. If I got this thing straight, anyhow. Take heed. No, verse 14. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Yeah, we need to take heed and not be joined to those that are in error and those that are saying there is no God. I know we wouldn't near team up with those people, would we? So let's let our life light shine and realize. And then there's a couple more verses, in 23 and 24, where he says, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you graven images. And that's such a terrible thing, as if people turn to other gods. And may we consider our lives and see what are we living for, and what are we doing in our sojourn here. Take heed. And he's just warning them that they should not make any graven image or likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. We'll go over to verse 35. Unto thee it is showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth be showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. So, and we hear his word. We hear his word preached every Sunday. We read his word every day, do we? I mean, I'll let you answer that question. Verse 40. Thou shalt keep therefore the statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so we are taught from our youth the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think most of you can remember back. I guess Simon and I are the two oldest ones here. I remember well as a young child when mom and dad and us would kneel and pray to God. And the words that were spoken, do we remember? Do you remember? Do you really actually let it soak in, you know, what it really meant to us? And that's when we grew up. And as our young people, as the brethren here went through with the articles of faith, which confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ and which gives instruction, as we remember these, It brings us, we get this condemned feeling, and we need to do something. Our children, sometimes when they were convicted, we, as parents, got visitors by night. They couldn't sleep. And that was the Lord working in them, using those words, those instructions that the parents gave and the prayers that they prayed, bringing us to Jesus. And Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, is what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus when he said, "Ye must be born again. Ye must be born of water and of spirit, or ye shall not enter the kingdom of God." There's a few other verses here. And chapter 5, the first verses there, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb, and the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here today and alive." You know, and Jesus, not exactly sure which, I didn't write that reference down, but he says he was teaching the disciples, and then he says, "Now let these things which I teach you today sink deep into your hearts, in your ears." And of course, it goes in the ear and goes down to the heart. That's wonderful, dearly beloved. That's wonderful. And David was admonishing Solomon. I'm not going to turn to these here. Time is going fast. But David encouraged Solomon to listen to God and to give himself to God, and admonished him never to forget God. Well, you know, Solomon had his problems too, and you and I have our problems too, don't we? Sometimes we need to just simply bow down and confess that I have failed, Lord. I have sinned. And that's why David wasn't stoned to death, is because he didn't blame anybody else for his situation that he got himself in. He took it upon himself and said, "I have sinned." Even when he had, Joab count the people? The Lord gave him three different choices. But he says, "I have sinned in counting the people. I have sinned before you." And he chose to be under God's judgment, not of his enemies and so forth, and the choices that he had. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, he says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven. But," he says, "he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven." The will of the Father. And he is the Almighty God, the Holy God, that has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. In Luke 8:21, Jesus says, when the house was filled, people were listening to him, the house was filled, and then his brothers and sisters, his mother sent word in that they'd like to talk to him. And he says in Luke 8:21, is a word a little different than in Mark, this account, but he says, "My mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it." And so it's very clear. Matthew 19:16, the young ruler that came to running to Jesus, and I don't know, we don't read very often that people came running to Jesus. But you know, I have had those feelings that I had to run to Jesus. I mean, because I knew I had sinned. And I wanted to confess and have it cleared and praise God for the forgiveness, his forgiving heart, his heart of mercy. And this young ruler says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." And so then Jesus said, "But if thou wilt enter into life, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." I'm not going to go on through that, but he says, which, you know, the young ruler said, which? And of course, Jesus shared some of them with him. He says, "I've kept all these." Pretty good boy, "I've kept all these." Well, but he left distressed and in sorrow. He didn't have a desire to keep the commandments. He wanted his material stuff. He didn't want to share. He didn't want to give. And John 14:15, Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Yeah, and the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The spirit and the word is what creates within us the born-again experience and makes us new people in Christ Jesus. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And let's think on that last phrase, "as I have loved you." Excuse me. How has he loved us? So much that he gave his life to be the sacrifice to pay for our sins, for my sins personally, and for all those that come to him. John 8:51 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." See, as we adhere to the word of God, John writes in chapter 5 of his gospel, he says we are passed from death into life. If we hear the word and let the word soak into our hearts, it will change us. It will transform us into new people in Christ Jesus. "Keep my sayings, and we will never see death." We are passed from death into life. Norman shared some thoughts this morning down there about going to heaven. Just the thought of it. Just the thought. And there's many, many miles. Millions of miles, I guess. Light years or whatever they call them. Here, and I don't know how far it is to heaven, but I like the thought that he shared. Was just, if you think about when we die, we'll be there. It will come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall rise, and Christ shall rise, and we shall be changed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I'm going to just relate I read a story here some time ago about an old church house over in Virginia somewhere. It was built in the 1700s, and it was I forget how many years after that. I don't know. Anyhow. I'm not going to go into, I didn't have a mind to bring that and read it too, but anyhow, there's people, these mountain people, it was way up in the mountains, and these mountain people went to church there for many years, and then here come a power line that was going to go across the mountains, And there was only one situation that would work, and that included, it was this old church house was in the path of the of this designated line. And they were going to destroy the church. The people did not want this church to be destroyed. It was the old church. There's one man there that he went to church there all his life. He was carried to church as a baby, and he was in his 80s or 90s, and he did not want to see that church destroyed. The day came when the big truck and the big dozer come in there. He was over at the church, and he heard this thing coming up the road, up the mountain. He shifted down and shifted down again, and then finally he made it up the grade, and he unloaded the guy, unloaded his dozer, and he says to this man, he says, are you the welcoming committee? He says, no, I'm only a member of the church. And he says, well, I was told this is my order today, and in an hour from now, this old my old dozer here, I call him Satan, and we're going to have that church house in a pile out here. You won't even know it's been a church. Herm, I believe, was his name. He just stood there. And the guy went, unloaded his dozer, and pulled it up. And as he did that, as he was coming up towards the church house, Herm took his Bible, went out there, and laid it down on the ground, short distance from the church. What's that all about? The guy asked. I think Herm said, again, it reminded him that he didn't want the church to be destroyed. Well, he says, I'm here to get it done, and I've got other jobs to do. I'll have this thing down in an hour, and me and old Satan will get out of here. And he revved that big engine up, the black smoke like it does when a dozer and the diesel. He revved it up and he started coming. And he says, like 3 feet from the Bible, he stalled out. And so he just cranked it up again. It cranked up and he revved it up and just stalled again. Didn't even move. Well, he said, old Satan never let me down like this. He says, we got to get this thing done. He says, I'm here to do it. And then he cranked his dozer up again, put it in reverse. Yeah, it cranked up, and he backed in reverse. So he went down and turned around, swung a big circle, and backed up over. He come to the Bible, and it stalled out. He got real mad. He was cursing and swearing. Herm just stood on the porch and watched. He turned around again, and he really fired that thing up and come real fast up there and bang, stopped. He got real mad. He turned that thing around, put it down on the truck, and left. Now, for what it's worth, there it is. God's word will stand throughout all eternity. It will never be changed. God never changes. May we trust him and be reminded again, the time is short. Thank you for your prayers and your love. To continue to pray for us. When we're up working up there, we miss you people down here. So continue to pray for us. I will have a winter job up there. And I thank you for your patience and your love to us. Appreciate y'all. Let's kneel for prayer.